get to the preaching. And if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And let me just say, I am 110% refreshed, and God has been very good to me over the last few weeks, and has given me the opportunity to really spend some quality time getting to know Him better. You know, amen. Is that not what the Christian life is about? Amen. Is for us to get to know the Holy Father better each and every day. And over the last few weeks, God has, the church, you guys, and the Lord has worked it out for my family and I to really spend some time growing under some special circumstances. So I think it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, we got to go on the teen youth conference over at Lincoln, there at the East Park Baptist Church. And man, I think there were five preachers, and each of those preachers had like a message from God. And those preachers, man, they preached that message, and God worked in our hearts. And I think every teenager that went to the youth conference, a youth rally there, their hearts were stirred. But, you know, I was there, and I got my heart stirred. And so came back and served the Lord for the week. And then sure enough, the next week, guess what? Friday, Saturday, we went to the Ark trip, and I got to see the Creation Museum and all the things that entailed there of going and seeing the Ark and just getting a visual there. How many of you have been to the Ark? You've been to the Ark already, and I got to see the Ark exhibit and see how they prepared that and presented that in a way that is just awe-inspiring. You come up and you see and say, man, I believe without, before you even get in there. Man, you know, that faith that you had as a child, maybe especially some folks that would have doubts about the Bible, you just see the Ark and you see its enormity, and you see how giant the inside of that boat is, and you see the levels that are there. You see the door and the greatness, just the sign there of salvation that comes from that. And then you go inside, you get to see all the exhibits, and you get to learn about the Ark, and they give you a little bit of artistic presentation of where they believe, you know, how Noah presented the Ark. And of course, we don't know that for sure, but I mean, listen, folks, just encourage your faith. And then from there, we traveled that day to the Creation Museum. And folks, I mean, if you've never been to the Creation Museum, once again, it's just as great, probably as of right now. Of course, the Ark encounter is going to be much more than just the Ark. And so if you have a plan, I would plan on going a couple years down the road, because they're going to add to the Ark, and they're also going to build some other exhibits around there. But at the Creation Museum, it's complete. They've been there, they set up, and it just kind of tells a story of creation, tells a story, the book of Genesis, and talks about the sacrifices, and then, of course, go through some of the things there. And listen, just strengthens your faith. You know, really helps you understand how right we are and how wrong the world has got it. You know, the world has the completely opposite way around, and they think, man, they've got it right. But listen, the Creation Museum just settles it down fact for fact that there's no doubt, there's no denying that God created the earth, that everything is from His glory, and that everything is in His hand and His purpose. And listen, folks, that just strengthened my faith. Came home Sunday, spent the week here back at home ministering, serving God, and studying, and then sure enough, boom, Friday, Saturday, go on the couples retreat, and had a good group there, and went there, and I mean, just practical teaching. Amen? Those that went to the couples retreat, was it just not practical teaching? And I just praise the Lord that, you know, we've been married for 7 years. The first time we went on a couples retreat, we were newlyweds, and I think, right, just that first year of marriage, correct? We didn't have kids yet, so yeah, I was... So, I mean, keep right. I mean, first year of marriage, you go to a couples retreat, you've got everything figured out, right? I mean, there was no arguments, there was no, you know, discussions, as they would say. It was just, you know, we were still on that honeymoon stage, and we went to the couples retreat. It really wasn't. Now, 7 years later, you know, there's been a few of those disagreements. There's been some of those things that have, you know, affected our marriage. And so to go to this and get some plain biblical scriptural teaching, and to help us husbands to love our wives better, and for the wives to minister to their husbands, and just was a wonderful time. And then the time spent away with my wife, I mean, listen, folks, we're talking 3 weeks where I have been just refreshed and inspired and encouraged in the Word of God. And I just think about in our lives as adults how that's not the norm. Amen? It's not the norm for us as adults to go away for a couple days and completely immerse ourselves in a different environment, completely dedicate our heart to learning more about God, to growing in our faith, to spending time how we can serve our spouses or serve our children better. That's not the norm for us. The norm for us is to go to church, hear some preaching, sing some songs, go back out there in the world, do your thing, come back on Sunday, get some more preaching, get some more encouragement. And I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of the norm. And for those of you that have been saved for many years, that norm just becomes old habit. That norm just becomes, yeah, church, yeah, going out to KFC, yeah, maybe we go to church on Sunday night, maybe we don't. Go back in the world, oh, Sunday, I go to church every Sunday, yeah, pastor's going to preach, and you know, you go home, no different than you came. You know, and we just kind of get used to that. Now, for teenagers and kids, for youth, it's a little different, isn't it? You know, for teenagers and kids, we have kids' activities. We have kids' classes where, man, Sunday school, they're engaged, and junior church, they're engaged. And then we have special programs on Wednesday night, and then we have camps. And then for the teenagers, you know, I mean, my goodness, I think I've got 5 or 6 special things for the teenagers next year where it's them going having fun, but there's special preaching. And you say, well, why is the emphasis on the teenagers? That's a good question. Why is it? Why is it that teenagers and kids have so much retreats and so much spiritual refreshment, and then as adults, we just kind of, oh, well, it just seems like maybe it's not that important. Should that be the case? Should that be the case that as adults, we just don't go have spiritual refreshment and have enrichment of our faith? No. It should not. There should not be a norm in the life. There should be times in our life where we say, I'm going to set some time aside to get out of this habit. All right? I don't know about you. I can't stand being in a rut. I can't. I'm just as much as I hate wasting things, wasting my time, wasting my money, wasting food. I can't stand doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I've got to have a difference. And folks, one of the things I'm going to encourage you tonight is understanding as we grow in the Lord, there should never, ever be a time where it's just the same old, same old. Okay? We may not have camps for adults. All right? We may not have times away where we can go and have youth revivals for those that are over 30. We do have special events, and I'm just going to put a plug in here. Folks, let me just tell you. I'm telling you, I have been encouraged going and hearing the preaching at these retreats. My faith has been strengthened. My walk with God is better. And I don't know why, I'm not trying to be mean or harsh here. I don't know why many of you didn't go with us to the ARC trip. I don't know why all of you didn't go to the couples retreat. But let me just say, hey, next year, don't make that mistake. It was a wonderful encouragement to my heart. Going to the ARC, I mean, I'm talking, I've been saved now for almost 15 years. And we're talking my faith just grew in bounds and leaps by going to the Creation Museum, the Ark exhibit. And that's how it should be, folks. We should say, hey, look, there's an opportunity for my faith to be strengthened. Here's an opportunity for me to say, I'm going to learn how to love God more. I'm going to learn how I can be a better Christian. I'm going to learn how I could be a better church member. I'm going to learn how I could be a better this. But folks, sometimes we just say, well, I don't need that. And if you're the one that says, I don't need that, I don't mean to be harsh, I don't mean to be rude, but you need that. You're the one that needs that. You're the one that tonight needs to say, I am doing the same thing over and over again, and I'm tired, and I'm exhausted, and it just seems like, what's the point? And you're right. What is the point? What is the point of worship if it's just a habit? Amen? What is the point of coming to church, singing a few songs, sleeping through the sermon, going home, coming back, sleeping through the service, going home? Is that a waste of your time, yes or no? Absolutely. Absolutely, it is a waste of your time. It's a waste of God's time. God says, listen, I don't want to receive your worship if it's just a habit. I don't want to receive your worship if it's just old hat. I want to receive your worship if you are seriously and sincerely, honestly saying, I want to seek God tonight. I want to come to God's house to meet with him. But folks, so many times we get so set that that's not the response to church every week. That's not the response to the preaching. And praise God, we have a great pastor, and I love my boss, and I'm thankful for him, and he's the best boss ever, and there's no way I would ever want to have him replaced. Amen, okay? So, just so that's said, I mean it. He is by far the greatest boss that I've ever had, and praise the Lord, he was busy last Monday, and I didn't get that pink slip. So, thank you, Miss Kathy, for having a hurt back. So I'm sure you missed that, but he probably told you so. You probably talked him out of it, didn't you? Thank you, yes. For those of you who don't know, last week Pastor had a joke and he said he was going to fire me on Monday and he didn't. So, but just so we know, things are good. But listen, hey, Pastor's a wonderful pastor. He loves the Word of God. He's not, you know, plain and dull about it. He comes to prepare to teach us and to help us. And you know, not only do we have a great pastor, but you know what also we are gifted with? Some wonderful Sunday school teachers. Amen. I mean, I have not been in all of their classes, but I have been talking one-on-one with Delbert, and I have talked with Brother Anderson, and I have talked over there with John Briggs, and just seeing, I think of the Encouragers class there. I think of how wonderful that is, the time you guys spend over there. And folks, listen, even our kids' classes are wonderful. But we have some wonderful adult Sunday school teachers who are practically teaching us the Word of God. We have, and you know, on top of that, we have the Word of God to read every day. You know, we don't have to have Brother Anderson come in and give us an outline every day to teach us something new. Do we, Brother Anderson? No, we could actually go home and turn the TV off and turn the radio off and turn the Wi-Fi off and sit down and spend some quality time reading the Word of God. I've been teaching now since 15 years I've been teaching. Got to teaching the book of Ezra this week in my teen class. And so went to the book of Ezra, started reading, okay? And you know what? The Bible doesn't tell us some specific details about Ezra. So I went online, and I started reading about the book of Ezra. I learned something by studying not just the Bible, but going out and looking at it and say, oh, well, look, when the book of Ezra starts to when Ezra goes back to there were 70, almost 80 years. I never knew that. And most of us never would have figured that out if we didn't get in and dig and study the Word of God. Now, folks, the point of this message is simple. Understanding that a change in course, getting out of the rut, saying, I think I'm either going too slow, I think maybe I'm going in the wrong direction, a change in course starts with a commitment. And folks, tonight, my desire is for you to make a commitment. Just like I had some teenagers make a commitment to serve God with their lives at a youth rally. Amen? I mean, isn't that a great commitment? I want to give my life to make it count for God. And they made that commitment. And I praise God they made a commitment. I hope that sticks. But listen, if they never made a commitment to give their life to God, would it ever happen? Yes or no? I didn't get a response, so I'm sorry. Hope you're not asleep yet. We still got, 30 minutes to go here, okay? So, if the teenagers in our society today, you understand it's wicked, it's evil, it's not pointing them towards God, amen? So if a teenager does not make a decision or a commitment to give their lives over to God, are they going to do it, yes or no? No. If they don't make that commitment, if they don't surrender their heart to do it, listen, the world is going to sweep them away and they're going to just follow along with the rest of them. But praise God, they made a commitment. Praise God, they said, I want to serve God. Now, oh yeah, young people should make that decision. But 70-year-olds should too. 30-year-olds too. Young married couples should still be able to make the commitments to say, every week, I am making a commitment in my life. And that commitment is fill in the blank. I am committed to do such and such. Every service, at least every Sunday morning service, every Sunday night service, we give a chance for you to make a decision. It's called an invitation. We invite you to come down, to get on your knees or at your chair, and to say, here here's what the preaching has been. Here's what the Word of God has directed me to do. I am going to decide to follow that commitment. Every week, pastor, every week the Word of God, every week your Sunday school teacher, I'm sure, directs you to do something. The directions don't matter if you don't follow them. The directions do no good for you if you say, yeah, that's good directions. Yeah, that'll probably work, but I'm going to keep going my direction. Folks, listen, a change in course. If there's someone in here saying, I think I need to change. I think my direction is set and I'm going in the wrong direction. I think my course is set, but I think maybe I'm going a little too slow. It just seems like, man, when I got saved to where I am now, it hasn't made much difference. And folks, if there's been a numerous amount of years from your salvation to today, and you are no different than you were when you were saved, your course is not where it should be. You're off course, or you're not going on a course. You're just staying where you're at. Folks, we're going to look at some very good truths tonight in the book of Colossians, and we're going to look at some other scriptures. And I pray that at the end of this service, as we close it here, in about 25 minutes, that you will say, here is the commitment I'm going to make. I'm going to make a commitment to make commitments on a regular basis. I'm not going to go a month, a week, a year in my Christian walk without committing to do something better for God. Amen? Amen. Does that sound like some good advice? Amen. Praise God for the couples retreat. Praise God we got to go and I got to find out as a husband, there are some things I'm not doing very well at. And I'm making a commitment to say, I want to be a better husband. Because if I'm not a very good husband, I'm not going to be a very good pastor. If I'm not a very good husband, I cannot be a very good father. If I'm not a very good husband, I cannot be living the walk that I need to with God. Because God says, I will not hear your prayers, husband, if your relationship's not right with your wives. Amen. I don't want that. I want to have that relationship with my wife. So I need to make commitments on a regular basis to make my marriage better. Folks, we've got to make commitments to walk with God. We're going to pray and ask God to bless this time. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have tonight to come to your house for one reason, to have our hearts stirred to the Word of God. We come to worship you. We come to hear from you, God, and I pray that's why we're here tonight. God, I pray nobody's here tonight because there's pizza or pop waiting for them. But God, I pray everyone here realizes we're here tonight to meet with you. And in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, work on hearts. There are some folks here that need to make some commitments, to make commitments, to change their course for you on a regular basis. God, we've got a wonderful pastor. We've got wonderful Sunday school teachers. We've got the whole entire Word of God canon in front of us that we can study and learn from. And God, Lord, help us to look to those folks, to look to the Word of God, to look to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis to say, I need to change my course. I need to increase my pace. I need to walk closer with God. And God, may they make a commitment to make regular commitments to you. And God, it will bring revival in our hearts. It'll bring better marriages. It'll bring better parents. God, it'll bring better Christians. And God, we'll have a wonderful church that's growing and loving you more if we will commit to make more regular commitments. Speak to us, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look here in the book of... There we go. All right. It's not working. You got up there? All right, Carlton's got it. All right, so here you see the book of Colossians, and Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul is writing here to the church of Colossae, and he's saying, hey, listen, young Christians, these are new believers. He says, let me tell you some things about your faith. He says, I want that you might walk worthy, that you might be increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Were we meant to be the inheritance of heaven, yes or no? Originally, the law, the Old Testament, were we as Gentiles meant to receive the inheritance of heaven, yes or no? No. It was written to the Jews. The Jews rejected Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to the Gentiles, and I'm now offering salvation to all men, to all people, that they might worship and receive Christ as their Savior. But folks, listen, this point says, listen, you have a wonderful gift. You have a wonderful blessing. He has taken us to be the inheritance of the saints. We are adopted, okay? The Jews were the ones that had that original inheritance, okay? The Bible says in the book of Romans, we were adopted. We were grafted onto the tree. The tree was meant for the Jews, but God cast down that tree and grafted us Gentiles in. And we see here the book, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, and that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Talking about some great verses of Jesus Christ and how he was worthy to forgive our sins. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they all things in earth or in things in heaven. This is where I want to get to. And in you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Were we all sinners, yes or no? Did we all deserve hell, yes or no? Yet now hath he reconciled. He has taken that sin, he has taken that debt and said, I am going to reconcile you, make it free. You owe no debt in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This verse tells us, listen, when we got saved, we were wicked. When we got saved, we were sinners. Amen? Amen? We were. I don't care how old you were, whether you were 5 or whether you were 55 or older. When you got saved, you had sin, which is why you needed a Savior. And when we get saved, as we see here in a little bit here on this point up here, let's see if we go. Nope. All right, as you see here, salvation saves us from the power and the penalty of sin, but it does not remove us from the presence of sin. Does that make sense? Yeah. Salvation says, hey, look, I am redeeming you. I am paying for your sins. Your sins are forgiven. You are a new, your name is written down in heaven. There is no losing of your salvation. All right, you are saved. But listen, it does not remove us from the presence of sin. We are still sinners. Amen? That does not change that. Do your desires and your passions and your pursuits change as soon as you get saved? Yes or no? No. I don't know about you. Maybe you had some different salvation than I did. But when I got saved, listen, I still wanted to go back home and do some sinful things after I got home from camp. I don't know about you, but in the 15 years I've been saved, there has been some passions and pursuit of mine that is still part of the flesh that lingers there. Folks, salvation simply covers our sin. From the time we are born, we are walking in darkness further and further from the light. And so from birth to whenever you are saved, you are walking away from God and walking closer to the devil, walking closer to the darkness and getting further and further away from the light. Does that make sense? Say amen. At salvation, you become a child of the light. The Holy Spirit illuminates you, and there's a little speck of light in you. That little speck of light is the Holy Spirit. And we are a little speck of light in a dark and sin-cursed world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, when you are saved, you are a newborn babe. They desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if you so have tasted that the Lord is gracious. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but you now the people of God, which have not obtained which had now not obtained mercy, but have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Folks, this verse is simply saying to us, hey, listen, you were strangers, you were against God, and listen, when you are saved, you become a child of God. There is a little awakening in your soul. The penalty of death is paid. We are no longer going to hell, but that does not change us. All the way. It changes our destination, our eternal destination. But folks, if you never made another decision in your life to serve God, you are going to continue and head in the direction towards the world, towards the flesh, and towards the devil. I'm living, I'll show you here a presentation here in a few minutes, and we'll have to get to that quickly. So we'll go here to the next slide. It says, upon salvation, we begin our journey away from the darkness of the sin-cursed world towards the fruitful works of the light to find fellowship with God. 1 John verse 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Saying, hey, listen, here's God. God is light, God is righteousness, God is holiness. And if we do not the works of God, are we fellowshipping with God, yes or no? No, there is a separation. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, Christ his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is a understanding here that God is light, and in us is darkness. And we cannot come into his light, we cannot come into his presence when there is darkness, when there is sin, when there is wickedness. God says, listen, you got to get rid of those. Before you come into my holiness, before you come into my presence, before you come into where I want you to be, fellowshipping with me, you have to first leave those works of darkness and come walk with me. Once we find the presence of God, we can live in the will of God and produce fruit for God. Romans 12, we know these verses. Romans 12, verses 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that ye be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says there needs to be a transforming. There must be a renewing of your mind. You do not get saved and you automatically are transformed. You get saved and then you have to change your course. You have to transform yourself so that you can go from a child of darkness who's walking in sin, who's committing sin, who's still sinning, and say, I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this distance from God. I'm going to leave this darkness. I'm going to forsake this sin. I'm going to ask forgiveness. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to change my course. The direction I'm heading is going to direction towards God, away from the darkness. And we'll go ahead and skip to the slide here. All right, here's the little thing I want to talk about, and I hope you guys can see this fairly clearly. And we see, let's see if we can get this to work this time. Nope. So we see up here, we see two circles, okay? And in the circles you see at the very top, this circle over here is light. This circle over here is darkness. This circle represents righteousness. It represents fellowship with God. You see God is over here, and you see right there on that little star, that's where God wants us to be. In the center of God's will is when you are as close to God as you possibly could be. However, you see over here is darkness, the worldliness, the flesh. And when you are born, where are you born? Are you born in the light or are you born in the darkness? You are born in the darkness. And so you see at birth, you are born into darkness. And as you get, maybe you get saved as a child, but you are a little bit closer to the darkness. Amen? Because you have what on you? Sin. You see, hey, as a child, you get saved as a child. Hey, listen, you are hopefully no longer heading towards the devil. You are hopefully no longer heading towards wickedness, but you are going to stop and going to turn the other way. But say you get saved as a teenager. Is there more sin on someone who's a teenager? Yes or no? Most likely, right? Person who's been living longer, who has a chance to have more knowledge of sin, is probably going to be involved in sin. I know as a child, to when I got saved at 15, there was a lot more sin in my life than I was. I was a lot further away from God. As a matter of fact, if I hadn't got saved when I went to Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, I don't think I ever would have got saved because I was walking so far away from God. As a matter of fact, I did not want to go to camp. I wanted to stay. And if I had not gone to camp and gotten saved, listen, I would have continued heading on that path towards destruction. But praise the Lord, I got saved as a teenager, okay? But hey, maybe you got saved as an adult. Is there a possibility that you are closer to the devil and further away from God than you were at birth? Yes or no? Absolutely. And folks, I want to get this illustration in your head because I want you to take an account in your life. Where were you when you got saved? You were not saved at birth. You were not baptized as a baby. Listen, you were at one point in time in your life when you received Christ as your Savior. And depending on when that point was, determines, hey, listen, I need to get back to where God's will is. And folks, my point from this is simple. Did you ever in your life turn from where you were and begin to walk back to the fellowship of God's will? I dare say there's some folks in this room who you got saved, you're going to heaven, your eternal destination is set, but you're still heading that direction towards darkness. You never changed your direction. You never changed your habits. You never changed your desires. You never changed your goals. Listen, you never changed those friends you had. You never changed those things you were doing. You got saved. You're going to heaven. That's great. But listen, as you get older, and as you get more sin on you, and as you begin to not make a direction towards God, but as you continue to add the distance from God, are you further from God when you got saved or closer to God? Amen. Further from God. There is a distance separating yourself from God. Can we get it correct, yes or no? Absolutely, because God is a God of grace. God is a God of forgiveness. God says, I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you're doing. I love you, and I want to save you, and I want to meet with you, and I want to have fellowship with you. God says, I don't want you to stay there. I want you to come. I want to forgive you. I want you to please come to me so I can have that fellowship with you. We see down here, without a change in direction, we miss out on the will of God, the power of God, and the presence of God. We are saved from the wrath. We are saved from hell, but remain in the wickedness, and we are a waste. A waste. If we never get the sin out, if we never get a direction change in our life, we just say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, praise God, where's the rapture? Our Christian life, folks, is a waste. God had a purpose. God had a plan for you. God wanted to use you to do something great. But many of us said, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And we continue to take those steps as we sin and as we don't repent and as we continue to get in the rut, as we continue to go backwards. Folks, listen, we are far away from God, even further than we got saved. What a shame. But folks, over here we see with a decision to change our direction, we become a delight to God. Hey, I don't want that. I don't want to waste my life for the devil. I don't want to give my life over to him. I lived in that for so many years. I don't want that. I want God. I want what God has. I think it's better than what I have now. I'm going to make a decision to listen. Hey, delight him. When we find delight in God, we find the power of God. Answered prayer. Amen. Do we not need answered prayer in our daily life? We don't find that when we're over here. God doesn't hear our prayers. Well, he's our Father. He loves us. But folks, if there's no repentance, if there's sin upon sin in your life, and there's never a chance, a time where you repent that and get your heart right with God, listen, God says, I can't answer that. There's no power in you. But folks, when we repent, when we get rid of that, we find the power and the presence of God. Listen, we find the peace of God. We find the prizes that God wants to give us, which are so wonderful, folks. So wonderful. The prizes that God has for you as you find his will are amazing. You would not believe it. There's no point of wasting your life. God has so much more for us. And you now begin to produce fruit for God. Folks, is this making sense? The verses we've talked about before. When you're saved, folks, listen, you are saved from the penalty of sin, but you are still in the presence of sin. It's everywhere. You have to make a decision. You have to decide, I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to be over here. Okay? And listen, folks, as I said, the older you get, there's a very probability that it's going to take some work. That's going to take some effort. Because there's a lot in your life that doesn't belong there. Amen. and there's some effort that you're going to have to put to say, I've got to get rid of this, and I've got to get rid of that, and I've got to empty myself of my sin, take over the old man, kill him, let the old man die, and live in the new man and the newness, and live in the light and live in the rejoicing, live in the Spirit, live in the fellowship of God. And we've just got a few more points here and we'll be done here. And so if we go to the next slide, we understand this. You must consider where you are in this course. You must consider, where am I at? We see here, it says here, James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh on the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Folks, listen, you take a good look at yourself tonight. The Word of God, you take a look and say, where am I at in this course? Where am I at? And you look at yourself and listen, I don't know who you are, but I can almost guarantee many of us say, I'm not where I want to be. There is some decisions I need to make in my life. And I look at my life and I see who I am and I say, I'm not happy with it. Change. We must consider where we are in this course. If you need to change your course, make a commitment to change your course and come closer to God. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm not happy with where I'm going. Hey, listen, you go ask God to forgive you. You get on your knees and say, God, I'm so sorry I have displeased you. God, I'm so sorry that I have left where I should be and I am headed in the wrong direction. And God, forgive me. You stop and you make a commitment. Say, God, I commit to leave those things behind and begin to go forward. You must change your course. We see here, keep your commitments and follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to clean up and stay on course. Jude 1, 20 and 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Folks, keep yourself. Because the tendency of our flesh is to not stay holy. The tendency of our flesh is not to seek righteousness. The tendency of our life, if we're not making consistent commitments to change, the tendency of us is to say, well, I tried that out. It didn't work. God didn't answer my prayer. So much for the power of God. I might as well go back where I'm having fun. I might as well go back to that. And folks, we must consider where we're at. We must make a commitment. I don't want to live here anymore. I see where my life is, and I don't like it, okay? Like how I see myself in the mirror every day, but I can't change ugly, okay? I look at myself, and I say, oh, what can I do? Not much I can do, but man, I could, you know, at least try my hair a little bit. I could shave this stubble, you know? I can maybe, you know, lose some weight. But folks, when I look at myself spiritually, I can change. I can look at myself spiritually and say, oh, I don't like that. That's gross. That's nasty. And I can get on my knees time and time again and say, God, forgive me. Help me. And when you make those decisions, keep them and continue to add to your faith. Three things to take with you and we'll be done. Number one, being saved does not make you holy. It does not make you perfect, okay? It just simply removes you from hell. Your sins are forgiven. In God's eyes, you are righteous. In God's eyes, you are forgiven. But folks, that does not make you a saint. You are still a sinner. The penalty of sin is gone, but sin is all around you. All right? You are forgiven. And listen, God wants to forgive every sin that you do. And I hope and pray that every day of your life, before you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning, you are earnestly asking God to forgive you for your sins that day so that you can start off every day afresh and renewed. But folks, listen, being saved does not simply make you, boom, I'm in God's will right now. No, it's a direction change. It is a choice you make every day. God, I want to be in your will. God, I want to be in your glory. God, I want to find myself in your presence. I don't want to be in the old man. I want to live in the new man. Listen, being saved, get that in your head, does not make you a saint. You're still a sinner. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of tears. It takes a lot of repentance. It takes a lot of time in God's word to where you finally find yourself where God wants you to be. After salvation, you must separate yourself from sin and seek to follow the Savior on a regular basis. Constantly be looking to make commitments to stay on the right course. Constantly. Amen. Constantly looking for ways. Hey, I'm not trying to poke and prod here, but hey, there's a couples retreat on the first one on my list because I know I need improving in my marriage. Hey, there's a retreat to go hear more preaching. I'm going to be there. Hey, there's a revival. I'm going to be there because I know I need change. I know without the preaching, I know without the presence and the holy word of God that I'm going to get off course. I need the gas, per se, of the Holy Spirit to keep me going and plugging along in the way that God wants us to go. Folks, listen. Look at yourself. Think about it. Can you go back to that chart before we close, Carlton? So we see here birth, God's will, adult. Think about it, folks, before we close. Where are you at? Where do you think you are? Are you in the center of God's will today? If you are, praise God. Listen, hey, but that doesn't mean you're going to be there the rest of your life, okay? That means you simply have to continue to chase God and follow him because he's going to continue to lead you. Or you maybe say, you know what, I don't even know if I've been in that holiness section yet. I don't even know if I've made that drastic a change in my life. Matter of fact, I look at my life and I say, it's not much different than I was when I got saved. And if that's been a number of years, folks, listen, the chance that you are still where you're at when you're saved is probably not. You are probably further away from God than you were when you got saved. His presence is over here, and you were over there. And God's not with you, and you're wasting your time. God saved you so that you might be fruitful to him, that you might worship him, that God might bless you, and that you might be a witness for him, that people would see the blessings of God in your life. Where are you at tonight? If you need to make a commitment tonight. Head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and Charity's going to go ahead and play a soft invitation, and I'm not even going to give an altar call because the fact of the matter is everyone needs to be praying right now. I need to be praying, and I'm going to get on my knees. But folks, as Charity plays for just 1 minute, take this time and say, I know where I'm at, God. I know where I need to be. I know what I need to do. And I will ask the Holy Spirit, what commitments do I need to make? And then listen, folks, don't let it stop tonight. Let it continue.